I don't mean, are you tired from physical? How many of you had a battle today? You have a battle? Of course you did. Boy, did you win? Did you win? Good. Amen.
It's still in the air.
How about you? Kind of like that? Okay. I tell you, I sure need your prayers. The devil is fighting me tooth and nail every day, like hand-to-hand combat. You know what's the army years ago? One of the things that they taught you to do that you feared if it ever come to it is when they cried, fix bayonet, because you knew you were fixing to face the enemy face to face. And one of you is going to leave. That's a battle like that. Our fight's not with flesh and blood, but it's with the devils, the principalities and powers in the heavens. So let's not forget to pray for one another. Remember to pray for one another. So vitally important. So, well, we'll get to prayer in a little bit. I have one verse to share with you tonight. Next verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I don't know if it's right to say share or not. Most preachers don't like that word share. I have something to say. Chapter 13, I said 12, 13:2. 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Let's pray. Lord, we fought the battle and our hands waxed faint. We realize that you are the giver of victory. We ask you tonight to guide us as we look at your word. Strengthen us with it. Cause us to grow in grace by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to entertain strangers. The Hebrew writer, moved by the Holy Spirit, is commanding us to not be ignorant nor unmindful of the charge we have to entertain strangers. What do you think about when you hear the word stranger? Who would qualify as a stranger? Is that just someone you are non-familiar with, someone you don't know, someone you perhaps never met, someone that just don't know who the fellow is? But I think the word stranger is used here in this verse like it's used in this book, Hebrews, and in the general epistles. Remember that in chapter 11, we read in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Peter writes his letter, and in the first verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and so on. In the second chapter, in the 11th verse, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." When Luke wrote the book of Acts in the second chapter, and he was talking about these Jews from all the different nations, 17 different nations had come there to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Among them were people of Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and it says strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. I think especially when it says, "Let us not be forgetful to entertain strangers," it's talking about God's people. It's not talking about the rank and file off the street necessarily, although it may be a good thing at times to play host to someone that you don't know, never met before, who doesn't profess to be a child of God, but especially for those who confess that they are strangers and pilgrims in this world. These are God's people, though we are not necessarily personally and intimately acquainted with them. Now, this is important because Jesus said, as he sent his disciples to preach, he said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." And in the next verse, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones," that's people that believe in him, "a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." We need a love and a desire to perform this duty of showing love and affection to the person who is a Christian brother, though a stranger, though unknown to us, having never met before, whom providence brings to us. Jesus said, "I was a hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in." Lord, when do we see you like that? "Well, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me," he said in Matthew 25. So all of us have a duty to host, and that's what this word entertain means. It means to host such Christians. Pastors especially are to be lovers of hospitality or hosting. I think it takes love in action to be hospitable to people you don't know. I'm a natural introvert. That means it's very hard for me to meet people for the first time. It's very hard to go to a place I've never been before and say anything. Actually, God has to put all of that in our heart, because many of us are like that. Some people are kind of naturally outgoing, but most of us are not that way. We need some spiritual help to help us to do the things we need to do. Paul, in Romans 16:23, spoke about a man named Gaius, whom he said was my host, as he wrote to the Roman church from the city of Corinth. Gaius was a member of the Corinthian church. In Romans 16:23, he calls him his host. He has entertained Paul. Now, when you entertain people, that doesn't mean you have to play tennis with them. That doesn't mean that you have to play checkers or dominoes. But it means to help them in whatever way they have need of. And in the end, it turns to a great blessing when we lovingly and cordially entertain those who are in God's family, but strangers to us. When you get a chance and somebody comes along that's a stranger, take them to your house. If you don't want to take them to your house, take them to somewhere where you can buy them a meal or enjoy their fellowship. Encourage them in some way. That's an important thing. We need to give them a free and cheerful provision for their refreshing. That's what Abraham did when he entertained strangers. And this verse points back to that, by the way. Turn back to Genesis chapter 18 for a minute. And let's kind of put ourselves here with Abraham. Here he is in this Bedouin tent, out in the middle of the desert. And it's about, it must be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the heat of the day. And we read from verse 1 in chapter 18, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre." I don't think he knew initially it was the Lord. I think he saw three men. "And he sat in a tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if thou have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your heart. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant." What he was saying is that God, in his providence, has brought you to my place. Sometimes God brings people to our place to test our resolve and obedience in such commandments as we're looking at tonight. Why is this person here? Well, maybe he's here for my benefit, so I'll have the blessing of entertaining him or her or becoming the host. So he said, and they said, "So do as thou said." And Abraham hastened under the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." That's a proof text that women are supposed to do the cooking in the household. You probably don't agree with that, but I think that's right. Get in there, Sarah, and fix cakes on the hearth. And Abraham ran to the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man. He hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and a calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now he fixed them the feast. a meal where they could be refreshed and strengthened on their way to wherever it was that they were going. He saw three men. It is, you'll find it in several places where a man refers to other men as Lord. If I found grace in your sight, do so and so. I think later he recognized it was the Lord because he pled with him. You remember for Lot's case, who was down in Sodom. We need to carefully further and assist them in the work that God has given them to do and help them to persevere in that work. And this is seen in 3 John. It only has one chapter, verse 5 through 8. Let's read that, shall we? 3 John and verse 5 through 8. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. It says, God's people that come to us, it fits in the whole scheme of things here. The church, evidently, that John is referring to, had said of these particular people that they were helpers to those who were the brethren and the strangers. And they had told the church that those people show love like they ought to. May we have such a recognition by other people. So we need to be careful to entertain strangers. And the reason is, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's why I say that Abraham didn't know. Now we have two cases in two succeeding chapters in Genesis. You have the case with Abraham, where we've already read that, and it's clear that they were angels, and at the time he began to entertain them, he didn't know they were angels. And then I won't read this, but well, let's read part of it. In Genesis 19, in the next chapter, and verses 1 through 3, Lot entertains angels, and he wasn't really aware that they were, I'm sure, until fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah the next day. Let's read Genesis 19, 1 through 3. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. There's something I want to say about Lot. I think he was in a bad place. I think we'll all agree with that. I think he made a bad choice back when he was with Abraham, and Abraham said, we got to separate. And Lot looked, and he saw the watered plains of Jordan, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, that was a mistake. But the one thing we need to remember is that Lot was a righteous man. The Bible says he was a righteous man. And it says his soul was vexed by seeing and hearing the wickedness and ungodliness that took place in Sodom. And when he saw these men come to his house, who were actually God's angels sent there to destroy Sodom, he immediately took them into his house. Now, he could have had an ulterior motive, but I think it's because he was a righteous man. And in his heart, he truly was one of God's people. Else his soul would never have been vexed with the filth. Aren't you amazed today at how people's attitude toward lots of these things that are going on, we call social issues, just kind of move from one place to another until they finally absorb whatever the majority thinks in the culture, such are sodomy and abortion and such things that are held to as right by the majority of the people. And so their conscience is taught to accept that. But Lot was a righteous man. He entertained angels unawares. And then last, just a comment. Sometimes we never know when the Lord might come by. I can't help thinking about Cleophas and his friend, who were on the Emmaus Road after Jesus' crucifixion and burial. And they were talking, and they were sad. And Jesus joined himself to them, but he withheld so that they couldn't see who he was. And he asked them, "What things are you talking about?" They said, "Don't you know about Jesus?" And so on. And they didn't know for a long time, but they joined in and invited him to the house. "Come stay with us." And as they ate bread, the Lord opened their eyes. What a blessing that must have been. Sometimes when we take people to ourselves, it is a great blessing for us. I think this is an important concept for all of us. Go out of your way to do it. Help somebody and encourage them. Feed them a good meal. And even if they need a tank of gas, get down deep in your wallet and help them along the way with whatever they need. God will show you exactly what you need to do. Just mind him. And in his quiet way, he'll come to you and say, "This fellow needs a couple of $100. Well, you say, "Well, I was going to go get some steak with that, but he probably needed it for beans and cornbread, so give it to him." God tells us what to do. We ought to do it. Well, what a verse. What a blessing. Thank you so much. Don't forget to entertain strangers.